Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Some kids have and some kids don't, and some of us are wondering why. And Mom won't watch the news at night. There's too
Blues at the
much
Island, 11:30 pregame, Fox Sports Midwest. That'll put you in a better mood than this song. It's a little gray, a little misty out there.
Doug, it looks like London Town, doesn't it?
Kind of does right in here. Yeah. It's nice for now, but it's what's coming later that's got to be a little bugged
out. Wait, what's coming? More
cold
rain?
Cold weather. Cold.
87 today, Doug.
That's nice. That's really nice.
Well, what a great weekend, though. I have to tell you, A number one on my outline, a tip of the cap to Jennings Randolph Jr. for putting together the Ride Her Cup.
He's the best.
Because I know that was not an easy thing to do, and to be able to assemble that and put it all together, and it was just super fun. A tip of the cap to him. And Doug, following the first round, did you get a chance to watch any of it?
I didn't see a second of it, no.
After the first round on Friday... God, I would say, Iggy, I don't know. I mean, how many, this patio we're looking out at here.
Packed.
From the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, the Kirkwood Brewhouse patio, Manchester and Woodlawn. Come on by, the water is warm. Packed. I mean, packed.
Fun time, too.
Great time. I mean, it was one of my favorite nights out I've had in St. Louis in years, for the reals, though. Because so many people, my family, my parents were up here, which was super cool. My wife, one of the first times we've been able to have booze together since our son was born. Some of her friends, my friends, listeners. It was just a great, great night. I think it was up until like 11:30, which means we were having tastes, I don't know, for like 6-7 hours. It's a great time. And a tip of the cap to Steve Stoles, who really is the one who has made this whole thing possible up here with Kirkwood Brewhouse to get us to this point. You know, and there's sometimes you have some red tape with municipalities and that caused a delay and that stuff happens and whatever. You deal with it, you control it, you can control. But now the patio is open. Obviously, you'd prefer it to be open earlier in the year. But like I said, you control. And the patio, now that it is open, is outstanding. And so it was packed up here. Clay Travis comes up here. We do the podcast interview and we end up talking for about 40 minutes. And we'll have that for you up a week from today. Former Senator Jack Danforth will be up. Clay Travis will be next week. Former Senator Jack Danforth will be up later today. The interview I did with him on the Tim McKernan Show. And so then Clay's out there and some of his Outkick the Coverage VIP members are hanging out. And people are just kind of enjoying, Doug, what I describe as fellowship on a beautiful Friday evening.
Is that right?
Fellowship galore. And that set a nice tone. It was the first time I've woke up hungover in, God, I don't know how long. I mean, when was the last time we woke up hungover together? He said,
Who are you talking to now when you say we?
Didn't you guys knock off a couple of bottles of sake that time? That
was That's like correct. A month That's and a correct. Half ago, right? Yep. Yeah. We went to Tani for a live magazine event.
You got the wrong bloke. No, but, I've never woken up with you.
But I have a responsibility, as you know, as one of the six captains of the Ryder Cup team. Yeah. And I had to get out to Normandy for round two and really try to ratchet it up. And the storms, they come, they fall all over our chests. And Jennings on the ninth green says, all right, captain's meeting. And that's when, you know, I remember seeing.
So everyone went in. Because everyone was some sort of a captain. Because we don't want to offend anyone for them not being a captain.
And he decides the Ride Her Cup Day 2 will only be 9 holes, which was without question the right move. So who wound up winning, by the way? Shows what kind of captain
You're
I am.
You're asking me?
No. I turned Iggy on that one.
We did. PGA Pro Dan's
team. PGA Pro Dan's team. Yeah. Congratulations to PGA Pro Dan's team.
And all his captains.
I was a general. I was not the captain.
Plowhawk was one of my captains. Couldn't make it on Friday because he had to walk his dog. But he was there And I remember that's why Freddie Couples missed one of the days of the President's Cup. Right. But he was there
I'm
on
there
Saturday.
In spirit.
Excuse me, it sounds like you might have a treat in.
I was there in spirit on Friday.
What are you enjoying right now?
Nice little Otis Spunkmeyer blueberry muffin, the usual.
Good for you.
Washing it down with a Coke.
How long does it take to play 18 holes or 9 holes even?
Took Tim's team about a little more than 3 hours, and the group behind him took like
holes?
9 hours.
No, 18 on Friday. Well, we didn't play all 18. So here's what happened, Doug. I thought you were watching.
No, I think it's a shit
show.
Didn't
you have a camera? You said you were getting the camera.
We didn't go out there.
So I have this takes me back to my TV days now that I'm doing the podcast, because right now it's like I know my schedule. It's, knock on wood, who knows how long it's going to last, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. That's that. And I know where I got to be and whatever, and that's it. It's great. Know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great. But now that I'm doing the podcast, and you're now back at the mercy of guests,
sure,
like the cat, you're like, oh, God, so-and-so isn't coming out of the clubhouse. What do I do? Doug, you've got an interview scheduled. He's not showing up. Whatever the case might be. And so I'm out on the golf course on Friday, and I'm a captain, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is how far I've come. I'm a captain of one of these teams.
Right.
And I'm starting to get texts that Clay might need to do the interview later. Then I'm getting texts that he might need to do the interview earlier. And that would mean I would have to leave the Ride Her Cup or not do the interview. And we've been promoting this Clay Travis interview for a while. And, you know, it's something that you tell prospective advertisers about. You tell your audience about. You want to make sure you deliver. And so I'm going, God, I think I'm going to have to leave. So I'm just kind of trying to move things along. And since we were the first group off the tee, we had nobody in front of us and we were able to shoot along. And then PGA Pro Dan and I, we jet after he ships me. I mean, he just ships me real nice. Like, okay. I mean, real, I got it into real nice.
Okay.
And so I'm like, let's jet like the wind. And so I think we did play, but we only played 14 holes, but I'm just picking balls up. I'm like, okay, it's your hole. I got to go. And I felt bad. But I had a choice, either do that or leave. And for as hard as I felt Jay had worked on it, I thought it would have been bad if I would have left. So it was just kind of like, okay, do whatever we got to do because I got to go. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to do this interview. But on Saturday, unfortunately, there was a shotgun. Was it a shotgun start?
I don't know what kind of start it was. It was a Shishawali tournament.
And the Plowhawk joined me on the number two tee. And as you might observe, the group in front of us was a little slower than the average.
Only a little bit. They only held up three groups behind us.
Right.
So
was it a sixsome?
But they were good.
Foursome. The distance wasn't necessarily real good. But I'll tell you what, kind of like Jason Day, they certainly visualized each one of their shots.
Oh, Lord. Because it's so darn important. So much money on the table.
Now, every one of those guys was a captain, though.
That's correct. For their shotgun tournament. So Jennings calls the tournament after 9 holes because it was starman like the Dickens, like I said, right call, bad beat on the weather, but what are you going to do? Friday was perfect, and Friday night at Kirkwood Brewhouse was outstanding. So we're hanging out afterwards under, what is it, the awning at Normandy? Would you call it the awning?
Shelter, the shelter.
Okay.
Clubhouse region.
Under the shelter. Porch shelter?
Okay.
The
awning.
Yeah.
And then it turns out there's tension.
There's tension. What, you're playing golf? How much tension can there be?
Well, when you have that many captains in a close-in area, it's bound to be tension.
A lot of type A personalities.
Yeah. Right.
A lot
of people alpha males,
used to being in charge of everything.
So you have a situation where, as Ray King would say, Matt who bowls at Hank's. Doug, you know Matt who bowls at Hank's?
No. I may have met him, but didn't realize that was guy who bowls.
People
so
get mad who bowls at Hank's and Billy Shack lady confused, I think.
Both great.
Do
they?
Plowhawk, do you get them confused?
I mean, I don't because I'm personally a big fan of Matt who bowls at Hank's.
Is that because of Hank's?
Yeah, that's where the relationship started, Tim.
But what about Billy Shack lady? You don't like him?
No, I don't mind him at all. And
but you said you don't mind him. That's not an endorsement.
I don't know him enough. However, Jay has pointed out that he does have a fine mistress. So.
He has a mistress.
Or, I mean, sorry, Shaq his Lane. Wife. Sorry, yes.
She was here Friday. Yeah, she was here Friday wearing tennis shoes.
God almighty.
Shaq Lady's working on
I was
some
just
going strange...
to get out. I was just going to drive down to Thompson Coburn. I wasn't even going to finish
sorry,
off the show.
Sorry, Shaq Lady. I know you don't have a mistress.
I played 2 days with him. He's a good dude. Fun to hang out with.
That's the official.
Shipped him on Sunday, but okay. He's a good dude.
You played him again on Sunday? What, you guys
We played the same group on Sunday.
Saturday.
I mean, yeah, Saturday.
That's what I was confused
Wish we
about.
Played yesterday. It was gorgeous yesterday.
So I'm trying to. So okay, Matt Hubols and Hank Stubbs, but not Billy Shackley.
Okay. Great American,
right? He's a
great
patriot. American. Thank you.
He's a patriot.
So he's telling a tale because there were a lot of golf balls flying. Plowhawk, you saw me almost getting taken out. I've never this on Friday. Doug, if you looked at the property at Normandy recently,
not really. No.
Okay, so if you're in the two fairway. That's the landing spot of the driving range if somebody takes out a club they can hit more than 200 yards. And I guess somebody was just ripping a driver. And we were on the other side of the fairway, and I came about a foot away from getting hit dead on by somebody just firing a driver off the range on number two.
Nice.
If it was, I mean, it would have been, PGA Pro Dan was in my car, and he would have been, it would have been rough. So then Saturday, the Plowhawk's with me because he's a captain.
Yeah, sure.
And we're on, what were we on, the four fairway? Because I think Golf Network had it. We're on the four fairway.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Yeah, fourth fairway.
And a gentleman just fires a ball from about 30 yards, never thinking that we could have possibly been in the path of the ball. And it hits the cart dead on. I mean, dead on. Guy didn't even apologize either. I'm just like, got to be kidding me. This is starting to become a kind of a risk to be out here.
Shooting gallery.
And then a couple holes later, we're on the green. Matthew Ehrenreich, you know Matthew Ehrenreich, don't you?
Sure.
He's lining up a putt, and a ball comes sailing in and hits the green.
I mean, it was like 10 feet from the pin. It was a nice shot.
Unbelievable. I'm just going, what in the hell is this? So that's and that gentleman, he because he was down in a valley and he couldn't see the green, and he just hit a really good shot, and he apologized, whatever it happens. But then we get to the, what do you call it, the awning at Normandy?
The shelter.
Right. And it turns out that Matt Hubols at Hanks, who I think loves America, and I think he's a fine, fine patriot.
I don't think that's in question.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there was tension. And then it played out on the fan purr because Matt Hubols at Hanks mistakenly picked up another guy's ball, and it was a Pro V1. Pro V1. Iggy, is that the nicest ball in golf at this moment? What would you say that? Because I play a Wilson staff.
Most expensive and probably the most sold ball, and it's the most used ball on the tour, yes.
And this is like the tour. That's why people are getting hit by shots and hitting into people while they're putting.
Hitting Pro V1s and hitting carts from 30 feet away.
So Matt Hubols at Hanks reveals that a gentleman who was behind him was hitting this Pro V1. Matt picked it up by mistake, and because there was a large weight, mainly probably because of the group that was in front of me and Jay and PGA Pro Dan and Matthew Ehrenreich, that the gentleman who hit the Pro V1 walks up while they're waiting on the next tee box and starts rummaging through Matt Hubols at Hank's cart, discovers his Pro V1, holds it up, and says, "You stole my golf ball." And then it becomes a whole thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then it becomes a whole thing. Iggy, were you witness to this, or are you aware of the...
No, I'm aware of it. I wasn't witness to it, and it's on the fan page. I'm not... If Texter wants to call in and say who the guy's name was, go ahead, but I don't believe Matthew did that on purpose. Look, you know how many golf balls I found?
No.
Three?
They're all over the place.
Three.
I picked up a couple of nice TaylorMades.
Doug, Injun Joe's K-Ride Magic Man was in the gallery for my group. Did a great job, too.
All right.
On Friday...
How big was the gallery?
God, I would say it had to be... him and one other person in his cart.
Okay. Pretty good.
Shouldn't he be selling real estate or something?
I think he took the day off to be able to follow us.
To walk around the course and watch you.
Yeah, I felt bad for Jay Sr. on Saturday introducing people. I was like,
yeah, Jay Sr. was introducing people at the event on Saturday.
Because you thought there would be a big crowd at this Shishawali event?
Well, they had set aside spaces in the parking lot for the TV trucks.
Right.
Okay.
And there was a media packet that they were handing out.
So now we have a near fight.
Right.
Where Hoosiers gather, fists may fly.
Well, I could see where Matthew would get confused because I think it was the last hole. It was nine, and I'm hitting the Chrome Soft soccer ball.
That was the official Callaway. Ball of PGA Pro Dance group.
So I'm hitting the yellow and black
soccer ball.
Soccer ball.
And the ball was right where it should have been. I hit a nice drive in the fairway.
Yeah. Of course you did.
Figured it was about 150 out.
Yeah. So what do you hit there, an eight?
I knock it. I did hit an eight, actually. You're the wind was behind me. Yeah. And I knock it on the green.
There was a hawk up there, Doug. Right
the and as we're driving up 20 yards in front, there's another soccer ball.
No!
I said, wait a minute. Did I hit the wrong ball? And it turned out I didn't, but there was another soccer. There's balls laying all over the place. Yeah, nobody picks them up.
I don't know. They
so I could see where there. Matthew could say, hey, look, there's nobody behind us, and here's a Pro-V. I'm picking it up.
Yeah, might as
well. I love how in the woods you never find Pro-V1s or Callaways. I remember when I was looking
for... What are you doing in the woods?
No, I was looking
what are you doing in the woods?
I was looking for somebody. I think it was Aaron Reich hit a ball and it hit a tree, so I was looking in the woods.
Yeah, I was over there with you and Matthew looking for the ball.
Oh, you picked up were Wilson's and Tommy Ultra. Armor's
saw a nice
and
Ultra. Got a Top Flight 3. Top still
flight
in the bag.
Top Flight X out, yeah.
Nobody came rummaging through my cart to see if I swiped anything on that one. So... I thought everything was fine. I thought there was an apology. Everybody had moved on. Well, then unfortunately on the fan per, Doug, Matt, who bowls at Hanks, and this gentleman got in an argument. This gentleman came after him, said, who knows? It may have been the best drive I hit all week. Wind was straight in the face and I hit it low and hard.
Yeah, okay. Oh
but it's all good. It's just frustrating finding your ball in the group in front of your cart.
That's true. I can see that.
Well, it's also bad form to rummage through the cart of someone else.
So that's what people were asking. How do you find your ball? And he said, well, there's a long wait on the number three tee. So I was just curious. So I looked in the cart and it was sitting in the ball holder. Doug Madu bowls at Hank says, dude, it was an honest mistake. I picked up some non-range balls while looking for Alex's shot. Did you see Alex's shot? Because I think he went left.
Of course I did not. No. I mean, did he have his Pro V1 marked in some way with some sort of magic marker that some people do to identify their balls?
How do you identify your balls, bro?
I don't. I just grab whatever high I risk. Have and hit it. Jeez. And if someone should pick up my ball, I tend to get over it rather quickly. Oh, well.
Do you ever go on Facebook and...
I don't. No. No, no.
Picked up yours in the fairway, realized you guys already hit, and it was probably one of yours, and threw it back. I threw back the wrong ball. My bad. I understand your frustration, but I apologized and told you what happened and kept going.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, this... This is
wasn't the end of it yet, was it?
No. The gentleman's name's Danny. I mean, I guess directly, maybe it not was probably a difference of maybe 10 to 20 yards, but luckily everyone agreed I shouldn't take a penalty, but I still feel bad taking a free drop on what is, quote, technically a lost ball, end quote. If you see a brand new Pro V1 in the middle of the fairway, you usually leave it alone.
Okay, get over yourself, Danny.
Now, can I say something?
Yes, Higgy.
He should have taken a penalty.
Wow.
You didn't know. He didn't know that the ball was taken until the next tee box. The ball wasn't there. 13, I hit a great drive just right of the tree.
Sure.
Everybody thought, middle of the fairway.
Yeah.
I got up there. We searched for 5 minutes. There was no ball to
what
be found.
It?
I dropped, took a stroke, hit three.
Read it.
I can't just say I know it was in the fairway. It's gone now. I'm not taking a stroke. You have to take a stroke. You didn't find your ball. It's a stroke. Period.
What if it is a result of some nefarious?
But he didn't
endeavor.
Know that at the time. He just—I know it's in the fairway. I'm not taking a stroke. I know it's here somewhere. Well, it's not there somewhere. You didn't know he took your ball. You take a stroke. Be a man about it.
One of the toughest things for me, and I guess I slept last night okay. Didn't sleep on Saturday night, and I guess the video's up on NBC Sports. But number four, Plowhawk, you remember? I hit a fine drive. It just went right. And we couldn't find the ball. And I'm even with Jennings Jr. through three, and I had to take a drop and take a penalty. We were certain the ball was going to be out there in the number two fairway. I didn't think Matt, who bowls at Hanks, took it. I was playing the Callaway Chrome Soft, and I took a penalty, and essentially at that point, I'm done with the hole.
Why don't you have Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man mark your balls?
Stupid question, because he wasn't there on Saturday. He was in the woods on Friday.
Oh.
Don't they have chip balls or somewhere you can find it electronically, Iggy? Isn't that technology available?
Not yet. But I mean,
Doug, there's your there's
I didn't
your
know there were that many.
I've thought of that many times because I lose so many golf balls, but it's hard to get that piece of technology on a golf ball because a golf ball takes such an enormous hit from the club. They break.
Investigated this?
I've looked into it, yeah.
How did you do that?
Well, I read a little bit about it. I wondered why that's not out there now. There's got to be some kind of chip you can put on the ball. The problem is the chip gets broken.
Maybe even just paint. Maybe the right paint.
Well, unfortunately, now there's more controversy.
Oh.
Matty Bear informs me no one told him that he should not take a penalty. No one told him he would get a free drop. We told him to drop and then assumed he would take a stroke. Matty Bear.
Yeah, see, that's the right thing to do.
Mm.
Be honest, it's a gentleman's game.
And this was nine holes at Worth. It was cut short by rain at an event where everyone's a captain and there is no real winner.
Right.
Okay, let's simmer down.
It's kind of a pretend big-time event.
There were two people in the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I felt kind of bad because this was on Friday and we were waiting quite a bit on every hole. and the team in front of us decided to finally let us go through on the 14th tee.
Yeah,
and I spent 5 minutes looking for a ball that should have been in the middle of the fairway on 13.
And that, of course, is, Doug, is that the par 5?
I don't know. I've been to the course.
13's that little, hit it around the tree, you probably got 30 yards of the hole, or you can bust it over the tree and go for the green.
That postage stamp green.
Yeah, it's a small one, yeah. But I said, well, I can't find it. It should be right here. And everybody said, I don't know, it's the best drive you hit all day as far as straight. It should be right there, and it wasn't. So I dropped, hit 3, ended up making 5. But I'm going to pat myself on the back with a nice little chip and then 2-putt. But I took the penalty, and he should have taken it too because he didn't know somebody took his ball.
No, how could he know?
You agree, Doug?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So what should we do about this?
Well, I think that guy's on our team, so I don't know.
Well, did it come down to one stroke?
I don't know how the whole thing worked on the hot shots. We were going top 7 scores and who shot what, and PGA Pro's dance team won. So.
Yeah, normally people would have moved on, but it's this show, and we're really dumb.
Right.
So we're going to keep talking about it.
Well,
even
it's controversy.
It is
controversy. You're right.
And did the winners get a lot of money or something?
I made 50.
So there was.
I guess everybody made 50. Yeah, not just me. I guess the winners got 50, and
every captain got 50.
I think so. Yeah, and the co-captains got 40, and the tri-captains got 30. And
Iggy, know your rules, Cheeto. if you can't find your drive, then you should have gone back to the tee and hit 3, not drop. Don't bust balls when you don't know if he's a cheater.
Well, there was a
he
stake there, buddy.
Re-tee if you lose a ball.
Well, listen, moron, there was a stake there.
There you go.
So we're figuring it went into the woods where there's absolutely a it's staked, so you drop where the stake is. So know your rules.
Doug, what do you make of all this drama to win a $25 gift card to Fuddruckers? Thanks. It's from Mrs. Jenny Shanahan.
Where Hoosiers gather, there will be fists flying.
Big Al was there on Friday. He was the ceremony, kind of like Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus at Augusta. Big Al hit the first tee on Friday. Good morning, Big Al.
Big Al.
Hey, guys. What a show. Hey, Timmy, with all this controversy and scoring stuff, you know what we need to do?
What?
We need a do-over. We need a do-over. We need to do the whole tournament again. I'm on my way to Normandy. I'll talk to Jay. We'll get this handled because we either got cheaters, ball picker uppers, or non-scores, non-penalties. Who in the hell? I think I probably won then, and I didn't even play. Hey, Dan, thanks for that lesson on that first shot off the tee. It went right as usual. So there goes all my thousands of dollars I spent on lessons right out the window.
How come he didn't play? How come he didn't play?
Because I had my son's diaper shower was Saturday, and my first grandbaby, so that was more important than that. But, you know, this really nudged it out. It was close. So I had to go to the shower, so I couldn't participate. So me and Hall of Fame Dave rode around, watched Timmy. I was in front bombing my driver on the par threes and drilling the green and trying to show him the way, reading the putts for Dan. Dan wanted me to read the line one time, and I putted real nice for him and put it about 40 feet past down the hill. So it was a great time, though. Went to Kirkwood Brewhouse. Whoever hasn't been there, you better get there. It's awesome. Mr. McKernan was there. Ryan Kelly was there. The whole gang was there. Hannah Ray was there. Mama McKernan walked in. I escorted her in. The baby wasn't there. I was going to go home and babysit for him, but it was already handled. So it was a great time. Good job, Timmy. And, Doug, you should have been out there filming instead of worrying about not parking down by the arch. You know, we got more important things to cover, okay?
Well, we don't film anymore. Hey, we haven't since the 70s. We stopped filming in the 70s.
Hey, Kat, how about that article by Jesus about how Fowler's the last one in, first one out, and people are playing chess and playing video games, and Matheny sitting around going, that's my boys. So way to go. We got some good leadership. It took Yachty and Waino to call a team meeting, but it was already too late. So I agree with Biff. When you got a manager from Chesterfield that can't manage anything, you're screwed. So hopefully Mo and Gersh and Mr. D will wake up after we miss the playoffs next year and do something about it.
Are you saying just because he's from Chesterfield, he can't manage?
He can't. No, I'm not going where Biff went. Okay, we all know that story, and that's personal. But he has an issue. I mean, come on, Doug. He was a little league manager. They quit after seven innings. You expect someone to know how to do something when they've never been trained? That'd be like putting me out there.
He was a major league player for like 13 years, and the thing
he wasn't a manager, Doug. He didn't make bullpen decisions.
Is he coached one of his kids?
He never coached to where he could learn how to handle a bullpen, Doug. He's never been trained, okay? It's not his fault. He's not been trained. He's out of his element, Doug. But he's over his head.
You think you know how to manage a bullpen?
I never said I did, but I got as much training as he does at it, so I'll take a whirl at it. I don't know if I could do any worse than him sometimes.
Well, you didn't spend 13 years in the major leagues around the game, could've. Around managers.
Probably could have.
Right. Around pitching
coaches. You're right.
You think you learn nothing when you spend time in the major leagues? You learn nothing, and that people that just watch the game,
evidently,
they know more than
we don't know much, Doug, because we're not making the playoffs every dang year under it. And you know what? Like I said before, catchers make the best managers. He's been out there, 13 years, Doug? He should know everything. We can't even run the bases or go from first to third or catch a fly ball, Doug. That's called fundamentals.
And that's
so
all
you have team
fault?
Meetings. You say, boys, put the pinball machine away. Hey, go get Dexter. He's out in the car. Everybody in here for a meeting. We need to go over this. Catch with two hands. Let's take some practice. Carpenter, do not run. I don't care if you get a triple stay at first. Don't go anywhere, okay?
Hey, major leaguers, easy. By the way, are not supposed to catch with two hands, one hand.
Well, they need to because these guys can't catch with one.
And it's all everything that goes wrong is the manager's fault. None of it's
I
on
never
the player.
Said that, Doug. Why are you trying to put words in my mouth, Doug?
Well, because you said they can't run the bases and they can't make defensive plays.
Leadership
and all this, and it's
starts
all
at the top, Doug.
So it is his
leadership
fault.
Starts at the top. It's partly his fault. He's the manager. If you don't do what your boss says, Doug, what happens? You get fired, right?
But you think 27, 28-year-old men need the manager to tell them how to run the bases? Really?
Doug, there's CEOs that handle thousands of employees, and they're all running the same course, the same ship, and they're on the same path, and that's called leadership. Not over here playing pinball on the parking lot going, can you believe I got all these millions off the Cardinals channel? Yeah, that ends out leadership.
And sometimes,
so let's have a meeting.
Sometimes employees under these CEOs, sometimes the employees do stupid things. They make mistakes.
You're right.
Doesn't mean
and
it's
the
CEO's
CEO
fault.
And then the CEO gets ousted, Doug, and you get a real CEO in. But you know what? We don't need a new manager because we're doing really good. Here we are. When's our playoff tickets going on sale, Doug? Oh, that's right. We missed again.
You don't think it has something to do with the players? You think it's all the manager?
I think it has. No, I never said all. Why do you keep putting words in my mouth?
Because you
up?
Say we're not in the playoffs because of the manager. I think we're not in the playoffs because they don't have good
because
enough players.
Of it. He's the ship. If he's the ship captain and he runs into the dock, what happens? Whose fault was it? Well, you're the captain. You ran into the dang dock. Well, it's his fault. He's on the phone, and that dude's playing chess, and that guy's playing pinball.
Well,
right.
There are probably,
that's my case.
There are 22 major league teams that didn't make the playoffs. Does that mean all the managers are bad?
No, it doesn't, Doug. It just means I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about us.
Okay.
Putting words in his mouth.
And we all haven't right. made it, and we'll not make it again just, 3 years in a row.
Stack up the Cardinal
write it
lineup.
Down, Doug, with your right pencil. Write it down. Llewellyn's suspension. Well, you know, in your right business pen. Write it down. Big Al said, again, third year in a row. I envision others wear bifocals, Doug, and we're out of the playoffs before it even starts next year. Great article, Jose. I got to go. I'm my first team.
All right, sorry to bother you. Just think, if you line the Cardinals lineup up next to the Cubs and the Nationals and say, how many players do you think the Cardinals have that are better than on those teams? And you don't come up with very many.
Unless there's like a spirit player.
I mean,
you know,
both those teams now have five or six players better than anybody the Cardinals have.
Not our spirit player.
No, you're right about the spirit. Yeah, it's always there.
Thank you for recognizing.
But in terms of talent, the Cardinals have fallen far behind the Cubs, the Nationals.
There is an element of spirit talent, too, though.
Yeah, well, that's hard to quantify.
It's hard to quantify. Yeah. I agree with you right there.
Guys, I hope that Big Al's boat hits the dock and sinks into a lake filled with bleach. That's from Waffle Fries. Someone put a grenade in his mouth. That's from the 314. I wish Big Al would run his ship into a dock and drown in the Mississippi. That's from the hipster Tower Grove South. Al, I hope you fall into a wood chipper. That's from White Marcus. Big Al, put a golf ball in your mouth and let me hit it with my 7-iron. That's from the Half Monty. Big Al, take a bath with the toaster plugged in. That's from Mr. Nipples. Big Al needs to jump off that dock with concrete shoes. This is Jenny Janet. Hey, Big Al, park that BMW in the garage and leave it running. I'll come arm wrestle you eventually. Thanks. That's from Meat Rocket. Doug, I just read texts that were all in order. I wasn't even picking and choosing. It's the sentiment of the audience. 855-282-8255. That's how you can text in or call in. The appliance discounter phone lines here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Always feel free to get involved. Lena's Pizza. I've had people reach out to me. Not just the Plowhawk, not just Iggy, but Lena's Pizza.
Like captains?
Yeah, captains of the Ride Her Cup. And talk about just how good it is. It's Lena's Pizza. You see all kinds of frozen pizzas in your grocery store. But have you had a chance to enjoy Lena's Pizza, the only one that's made with 100% Provol cheese? It's called Lena's Frozen Pizza, and it's absolutely the only frozen pizza made with St. Louis's favorite Provol cheese. Lena's Frozen Pizza is handmade here in St. Louis and available in up to 10 different fresh and generous topping combinations. The Plowhawk's official recommendation, buffalo chicken. Go online to lenaspizzastl.com to see all the varieties and the great comments from people who have already tried and love Lena's. You'll find Lena's Frozen Pizza at Schnucks, Deerberg, Shop and Save, Straub's, Aldi's, and many other markets. For the location of the grocer nearest you that carries Lena's, visit lenaspizzastl.com. That's Lena's, L-E-N-A-S, pizzastl.com, lenaspizzastl.com. Send your emails in. Hotshots email today, the morning after at insidestl.com. The morning after at insidestl.com. Get involved in the radio program. Doug, how'd you do wagering this weekend?
I didn't wager at all. I don't wager much. In fact, I didn't wager at all.
I had Georgia in the over in the Vanderbilt game. Ship both those. I had Northwestern. That didn't work out. I only put a small taste on Kentucky, and that was in the early morning before the Ride Her Cup.
I had Iowa State beat Oklahoma straight up.
You had the money line on it.
I didn't bet on it. I just knew that they would go down there to the Norman and come away with a W.
Loved Texas A&M against Alabama, and that was a good win. But my lock of the week was the Washington Cal over, and the logic was I thought Washington could put up 50-plus points on them by themselves, and Cal would score, 10 to 17 points. It would be a pretty easy cover, and unfortunately they came up short by, what was the final on that one?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to that game.
Touchdown, 8 points. No, either way. So lost that. Here's the deal.
What?
You can get healthy tonight because Sammy Checkdown is going to be back under center when Monday Night Football is lucky enough to have the Vikings and Bears tonight.
Wow. Explosive offense.
And then you'll have some hot takes on Twitter tomorrow about how it did much better than the baseball playoffs. And then there'll be a narrative you can advance if you don't like baseball, out of baseball's dying, but you won't mention anything about degenerate gamblers and fantasy football in your narrative. There's my official soothsayer play of the day. But if you would like to wager, why don't you do so on mybookie.ag. Make your way to my bookie. You win and they pay fast. And isn't that important? If you're going to win, wouldn't you like to get paid?
Well, that's what it's all about.
Right. Yeah. Well, some places you can run into problems with that. Not my bookie. Mybookie.ag offers in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. Join now and my bookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Here's the promo code, radio. The promo code is radio. Use that to activate your offer. The promo code radio. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win. You get paid. You play, you win, you get paid at mybookie.ag. On the Four Seasons Penske Truck, Captain's Log, TJ Moe at 9, and the Hot Shots email of the day at 9:45. There is your Captain's Log. Mike Francesa had a chance to call in to Evan Roberts' show, Doug.
He's now a caller, too. He hosts his own show for 5 hours, and then when he goes home, he calls other shows.
Take a listen.
That's what's happening?
How about this special guest? Mike Francesa, what's up?
Hey, I was just driving along listening to this, so I had to pop in.
Go ahead.
First thing for the fans. Number one, if you think any is made as far as rotation decisions or lineup decisions without it being from the top or the bottom of the organization, from the general manager right through the entire organization. It happens now everywhere. No manager makes that by himself anymore, those decisions. Nobody is doing that in baseball. That has changed radically in baseball. Every general manager is involved, probably more so than they should be. Okay, so to think that it's just the manager making those decisions, not true. Now, with that said, he had a nightmare night last night, and his excuses were feeble after the game. Mm-hmm. Remember, their whole motivation, and I'll tell you which one really I thought was really, other than the review, which is one that could actually change his whole relationship with that team, and I do think there's a chance he might not be back.
Really?
I've thought that all year myself. Oh. I really have felt that wow. I thought something could happen this year. So I'm not 100% thinking, and I think he's much better than average manager. I don't think he's Francona, but I think he's a good, solid manager, though. He's not a great, but he's good. The whole motivation of the Yankees is to get to the bullpen. That's all they think about.
Watch your fingers.
To the bullpen. So as soon as CC gets past the fifth inning, and he almost got pulled, he was one batter from being removed in the third. If Ramirez had gotten a hit in the third, he would have been out of the game in the third inning. In the second inning, he would have been out of the game. What was worse for me was twofold. The review, there's no way you have to review that. That is one that will haunt him. His answer made no sense because he had no answer, okay? He had no excuse. You could see how sick he was in the dugout as soon as he realized what had gone on. So he had time to ruminate about that, and he came up with a very lame excuse. He had no excuse.
You hanging out with
the
kids?
I had to take my daughter to golf lessons. I have to go to golfing. So
what's happening now?
Is this on the air?
All right, Mike. Good talking to you, my friend. The phone is acting very, very crazy, I must say. Now, that's Mike Francesa, who was kind enough to call in. What is up with that phone?
Is that him hitting a button? Is that one of his fingers as he grips the phone, hitting one of the numbers?
All right, Mike. Good talking to you, my friend.
That's
the phone
is
acting.
I think I've decided now this is just performance art. Oh my!
He's doing it on purpose for the attention. I do believe now.
I have to take my daughter to golf lessons. I have to go to golfing, so I was going to pick up.
Doug, he was talking about it, by the way, if you could hear it through him pushing buttons.
That was him accidentally hitting buttons, right?
Yes.
He was probably texting while he's talking.
I was texting for Bill's number. Let's talk about Joe Girardi getting fired. Joe Girardi, actually, before last night's Game 3, said if he gets let go, he would understand. They're talking about firing Girardi in New York and firing John Farrell, 4 years removed from winning a world championship in Boston.
Yeah, what have they done as of 2 years
God almighty. I really don't get that stuff. I really, really don't. I mean, now, again, that's, of course, giving a hot take from a million miles away. Maybe there are issues in the clubhouses or whatever, but I mean, both those teams were incredibly successful. They're both 90-plus win teams.
Well, Girardi didn't use his challenge. And
right, in the sixth inning. Is that when Lindor hit the grand slam in the sixth?
And then his star closer, Instagram post that said Girardi was an idiot. Yes. So there are issues.
And then Aroldis Chapman sought him out and said he was scrolling through it and he hit like by mistake and who knows.
That can happen.
It's just so easy to blame the manager for anything that goes wrong. It's always the manager's fault. If we lose, it's the manager. If we win, boy, our players played great. If we lose, the manager.
Well, if Francesa thinks he may get fired, look for an extension here in the next few days.
Well, there are some phone issues.
You hanging out with
the
kids?
I have to take my daughter to golf lessons. I have to go to golfing, so I was going to pick her up.
All right, Mike. Good talking to you, my friend. The phone is out.
Can we let Matt Holliday have an at-bat? That's all I'm asking. One at-bat, please.
It's going to be the end of the road for him, you think?
Tire at the end maybe. Of the But give him that bat. I mean, it's not like Chase Headley's doing anything. No, I mean, they're not scoring runs.
Well, they're not in a position right now to give him that bat just to make a guy feel good.
No, but why not take a shot? No one's hitting. They're not hitting at all.
Why are you such
a Chase Headley apologist? Did you notice that, Tim?
Yeah, since you do seem like you might be in the tank for
Holliday
Headley.
Holliday was a regular for half the season or
so. He had some injuries and it got cold.
He got cold?
Yeah. It stopped hitting. It's another way of saying he got cold. It's like you hadn't ever heard
that before.
Unusual
that he would go from the middle of an order hitter to I can't even get in the game at all.
Well, he had some injuries, and then when he came back, he wasn't hitting. I would use another term, but it seemed to not understand.
I understand your terms.
Nick Saban was not happy with the media following Alabama.
He's never one time been happy with the media.
Because Alabama was up 24-3, so my wager was looking like it was trending in the wrong direction. But then those Aggies mounted a Sunday charge and wound up keeping it really close at College Station on Saturday night. Alabama still winning, of course. Here is Nick Saban explaining what...
Sounds like he's got a lot of reasons to be angry at the media after that one.
Coach, when you look at, you talked about not being able to finish. How much of that was A&M?
I didn't say we're not able to finish. I said we didn't. We're able to. We didn't. I'm trying to get our players to listen to me instead of listening to you guys. You know, all that stuff you write about how good we are and all that stuff they hear on ESPN, it's like poison. You know what I mean? It's like taking poison, like rat poison. All right, so I'm asking them, are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to these guys about how good you are? All right, just like your question right now, if we get stopped 3 out of 4 times, like that's a bad thing? We're not going to beat everybody 66-3.
Okay. Why would people write good things when you rank number one in the nation? That's the team you want to rip.
Doug, it's like rat poison.
He could take anything and turn it on the media. Anything at all. Oh, you wrote a nice article about us? How dare you? It's like rat poison. Write a bad article, he'd be even angrier at that. You can't please him. I think he tries to get that us against the world mentality going for his team. That must be what it is. Everybody's against you, so you got to go out and show them that we're the best. I can't imagine what else would be the psychology behind that.
Or he's just a bitter old man.
That could be, too. Because he's kind of always been like this, hasn't he? He's kind of always been prickly and difficult. He's smarter than everybody else in the world.
Thank you.
I can't stand coaches. I really can't.
Also, a team that had to be happy with Doug's prediction, and it did live up to it, of Iowa State going into Norman and winning straight up against Oklahoma, was the team they lost to in September. And that was Ohio State. Maybe they can get back in the mix. They've just been shipping teams ever since. Ohio State taking on Maryland. And rarely do you see a team with a 30-point spread cover that in the second quarter, but there they were. Gus Johnson was on the call. Take a listen.
Okay. Hit the lever, Ponzi.
So, Max Bordenslager still trying to find his way in this ballgame.
Second and 3 after the 7-yard gain. Bordenslager to the sideline, caught, first down!
Woo! What a hit! Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there? And you didn't invite me! Hurt my feelings!
A nice call. Very nice call. You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
That's right. That's right.
That was a sack of the quarterback, was it?
No, it was a throw to the wide receiver, big hit by the corner, and then called for targeting shortly after that.
Right.
Call stopped.
That's part of the problem with football is everybody gets so excited about a huge hit, and we celebrate it, and then the guy who got hit, you know, can't think straight when he's 40 years old.
Woo! What a hit! Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
It's a fantastic call, that's for sure.
Some breaking news out of the San Fernando Valley this morning. Lana Rhodes and Adriana Chechik have gotten into a fight at an award show.
Oh, no.
And I guess we all follow Adriana Chechik, don't we, on Twitter?
Don't know who that is.
But she is showing some scratch marks on her neck that she said came from Lana Rhodes in a fight. And we're going to follow this closely here throughout the rest of the day and, of course, on the fan page.
What were they fighting about?
Iggy, do you know what the fight was over? I don't know.
No, but give me a minute. Just text Lana the number.
Yeah, you have Lana's number.
I was trying to do a Francesa there. I'll text her so she wants to come on and talk about it.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of like, you know, when McCaskill and Aiken used this show in their election, you want to give equal time to Adriana as well.
I don't have
in
her
a
number.
Especially in a situation like this.
This just happened, or was it something?
3 hours ago.
It did.
Oh, well, she's probably
3 hours ago.
We talking about boobs?
They're scrapping it at 6 o'clock on Columbus Day?
What award show is this?
Doug?
Oh, I wouldn't even ask. I don't.
Captain Jack's clue. Awards?
I don't know. And they got so mad that they began to scrap a little bit.
That happened at the Emmys 1 year locally, I remember.
Gentlemen, let's get it out!
It very well could have. I don't recall it, but they have. They're just so classy out there. They're just so darn classy in the adult industry.
Doug, the Cards have clubhouse issues, no playoffs, and we keep Matheny. Brilliant. That's from Big Al again. I thought he was done, and now he's texting in all caps.
About the players in baseball. All about the players.
I didn't really get it. I mean, it's been covered time and time again. They had team meetings, and there were some issues with Tommy Pham came out and said it publicly. He was unhappy with the ping pong and the video games. I don't really think there was a lot of new territory in the Ortiz article.
Don't you think every team has meetings from time to time?
Yes.
If you go from February to the 1st of October.
And there were other meetings, too, that they didn't get traction after. So it was a bad year. They had injuries. Obviously, the team, I agree with you, if you go player by player with some of the other teams in the playoffs right now, probably not as good.
No, not just probably. They aren't.
Yeah.
You look at a team like Washington with Scherzer and Strasburg and Harper and Rendon and Zimmerman and Trey Turner, and we don't have anybody like that.
Why do you hate Mejia?
I'm just saying that's
I'm not
going to
sit here and let you take personal shots.
Better than anybody currently on the Cardinal roster.
Yeah, there's a talent gap. So we'll see if they can close that gap with off-season acquisitions.
I don't imagine Dusty Baker would have won with this Cardinal team either.
What about?
And I imagine Matheny would have won with that National roster.
What about someone like Casey Stengel?
Well, he probably would have won. He won a lot of them.
So you're saying we got to somehow find a way to bring Casey back.
He's been gone a long time. I mean, 40 years probably at least.
Still.
But still, there's a way, I'm sure.
He might have been the best soundbite ever in Major League history. You ever seen some of the interviews with him?
Yeah, you never heard Troy Gloss.
Yeah. Why didn't you listen to the Glosses?
Didn't hear a lot from Troy Gloss. He seemed angry whenever I tried to talk with him. So I said, all right, I'll leave you be.
Buck Swope just sent me some of the pictures from Kirkwood Brewhouse Friday. Boy, Larry was having himself an afternoon.
Larry was here as well, was he? God.
Take a look at this one.
Larry, oh boy, yeah. He's got a shot.
Nice.
He had his own cart too. That could have been scary.
No, I'm not sure. Anybody in my toilet?
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be a funny show. Yeah, before we go to Richard Gould, is this time to shine?
Put this jaw on the camel's back and broke it, Bubbles.
Jennings had a big night, too. He was holding court, Iggy.
Jennings,
you guys had this whole table over here, right here.
We did. He was
for those of you watching on MSNBC.
He was figuring out the scores because some people decided not to hand in their scorecards. So we had to go back to the apps and try to find
stuff. That happened at the 2007 Masters?
No.
And I think that's why Zach Johnson won.
It didn't happen there.
Something with DiVincenzo did that, but... So they were trying to figure that out, and it was fun. There were a lot of people hanging at the table. You came over for a while, sat down, and it was a fun little evening.
It was a great night.
Brian Kelly bought me a scotch.
So you guys shot over here and posted up?
Ponied up.
Pony.
Jeez.
I thought it was a pony show when you post up.
No.
Okay, I'm not cool enough to hang out with yous. I'm just not. Sometimes I go to a restaurant and I'll just sit there. I'll order food and eat it and just sit there.
He's adorable.
Oh, God. I
love him.
He's got a body built for the bar scene.
I think somebody put Larry in an Uber around 9 o'clock and shot him back over to Alton.
Wow, what would that cost for an Uber ride?
I'm going to set the over under around $70.
$70?
I lost 21 pounds by doing nothing.
Hey, Outback Steakhouse got a good salad.
Biff likes that tower of onion rings, doesn't he?
Yes, he really does. Are you finding a lot of onion rings on the toilet handles?
Yeah, that's what guys like to do when they come by.
That's what they really do.
Yeah, you know, they put an onion ring on that, but I don't know what it means.
And what are you supposed to do about it? It's not like you're not going to police. You're going to have like a security guy in there while the guy's going number one.
I guess you could have a security guard outside to check people for onion rings before they go in.
Well, right. I think it's kind of like paying it forward, you know, like how at a drive-thru you'll pay for somebody's food behind you.
Oh, yeah, I always do that at the White Castle downtown.
You know, if you put it in the number two stall, you know, you're leaving a snack to a guy that, you know, is recreating, so he'll be hungry in a few minutes.
How hungry do you have to be?
And so you're kind of paying it forward by just giving him a little treat.
I think you're a treat.
Thank you.
How hungry must a person be to go and eat loose
starving,
snacks in the
I would hope.
Doug, I was blessed enough to be in Branson with my wife Friday, but did I miss something with Clay not being a Kirkwood Brewhouse? Thanks, Doug. I love your trousers on the floor. It's from B-Money.
I don't know what that...
Clay was there for like 5 hours.
He was here. I met him.
I interviewed him.
Did you?
Yeah. Talked to my...
He's getting bad word from down Branson way.
Doug, why can't the problem be the roster and the manager? Drives me crazy that many try to find reasons to brush off Matheny's 6-year lack of improvement in strategy. Talent is short. Manager's lacking. Both are true. Thanks, 916.
I don't know. I just know that no manager wins without talent. I don't care who you are. Whitey Herzog had some horrible years here. Did he know nothing about strategy? It's all about the players. You've got to have the talent to win in baseball. You can't do it with managerial tricks. Sometimes a football coach with all those players involved and as choreographed as it is, sometimes a coach with lesser talent.
Why do you
can
hate
win.
Tui Vilalo?
Doesn't happen in baseball.
Why do you hate him?
I don't.
Seems like you had a bone to pick with Tui.
Joe Torre had horrible years here as a manager.
Then he learned some things and went to New York.
On the flight to New York, he read a book about how to manage and became a Hall of Fame manager.
Good for you for acknowledging that book.
Had nothing to do with the Hall of Famers he had on the team.
Guys, I saw Big Al try to pick two fights at KB. Dude needs to lay off the booze and herb. Thanks, recap. I did Snapchat him arm wrestling people. The looks on their faces as he wanted to arm wrestle them.
You walk up to strangers?
Yeah.
And do they engage him?
A couple people were reluctant, and then eventually a guy just gave in, and Big Al won, and then he just kind of stared at the guy.
He's taunting the customers here?
Yeah.
That's still a thing, that
he's still doing that?
At some point, you have to throw him out. If you've got a rogue customer wandering table to table saying, let's arm wrestle, and people don't want to, you've got to throw him out.
You should have saw him at Normandy. Like, me and Cookie randomly go out there to play golf at 8:30 in the morning. He's pulling out carts like he owns the place. Like, he's pulling out 8 carts and then putting... He is a treasure. I love Big Al.
I do, too.
You see him everywhere.
I do, too. I don't agree with some of his hot takes, but I think he is a treasure.
You can email in your thoughts the morning after at InsideSTL.com. We'll have TJ Moe on coming up and the Hot Shots email today. It's Ryan Kelly morning after.